from 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'll begin reading today with verse 4. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. Though the Lord had closed her womb, her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they'd eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, or no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle out of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. There was once two gentlemen traveling on the ocean, and they were shipwrecked. And as they landed upon the deserted island, just these two men, one became instantly hysterical. He started running around and pleading his case, and almost instantaneously was terrified of the fate that they would never be rescued. And even as he poured out his heart with great passion, the other gentleman was very calm. He walked over to a palm tree there on this deserted island, just leaned up against it, started twiddling his thumbs. The more passionate survivor said, "What's wrong with you, man? Don't you know we're stranded here and we'll never get away?" He said, "Oh, I'm not so worried. I make $100,000 every week." To that, the more exasperated survivor continued his rant, trying to inspire a response out of his friend. And once again, he said, "Why are you so calm? I don't get it." He said, "Didn't you hear me? I make $100,000 a week." And he said, "That has nothing to do with us being stranded on this island." He said, "Oh, but it does. You see, I make that $100,000 every week. and I tithe on that $100,000 every week. I've never missed a Sunday that my pastor didn't come find me before the week was out. And so it is today. We face the challenges of a budgetary shortfall in our congregation. And the pastor has come to find you. He's come to talk about this subject that we don't like to talk about. What do we do as a congregation, or maybe even as individuals, when we're faced with needs in our congregation, in the larger community, and in the greater kingdom of our God? How much do we give? That's a question before us as families, as individuals. As Price Elliott shared with us this morning, we're about $10,000 under budget and closing out this year. And I'm grateful to our session that they challenge us as a congregation, that they set the bar high, that we try to minister in every way we can to the community around us. And you know, as we face the needs in our community and in the larger world around us, it's easy for us to be consumed with the plight as the man who was shipwrecked on the island, of saying, woe is us. What can we do? Little old Ripley Presbyterian Church, what can we do to make up a deficit of $10,000? What can we do to meet so many enormous needs in our community? The great needs are ever before us, and we are so few and so limited. That can certainly be the emotions that we wrestle with. You know, I think of our passage of Scripture today, and I hear in this exchange this story of Hannah, the soon-to-be mother of Samuel the prophet, the one who ministered to the first monarch, Saul, of the new kingdom, who called David into his ministry as king of Israel. Samuel was one who first was loved and nurtured by his mother Hannah. And in this passage of Scripture, I think Hannah, if we'll listen perhaps with fresh ear, can give us guidance of what do we do when we're faced with peril as family, when we're faced with challenges as a church, when we as a community are inundated with epidemics of drugs that just plague and impact families and children. What can we do? In our text, it tells us that as Hannah was faced with her challenges, she was so grief-stricken that there was no action, it seemed, for her to take. Even though, in the words of her husband, Elkanah, she was already receiving a double portion of gifts to sustain her and her family. In other words, this text kind of speaks to me and reminds me, so often I, like Hannah, I'm so consumed with what's going wrong in my life, what is not working out the way I want it to work, in my church, in my community, in the world, I can be so consumed with the inadequacies that I miss the double portion that's already before me. So friends, I ask today, as we as a church are faced with a challenge, financial challenges, as we're, as a community, faced with an epidemic of drugs, as we, as a community and region, live in one of the most depressed economies in our nation, what is the double portion that's before us? How are we making a difference? That's the question your session wrestled with this morning during our meeting, in what some said the best session meeting I've ever been a part of. That's what one of your elders, Deborah Steverson, said. And as many of us were brought to tears and emotion by looking at the double portions that are happening in our community. We consider this deficit that we face closing out the year. And you know what your session did? You know what you do often when you're faced with a deficit? You tighten the belt a little bit. Well, they let the belt out a little bit. What I mean is, instead of saying doing less, we're going to do more. They looked hard at this budget and they said, you know, we don't have a line item for mission and outreach in this community. We're about to change that. We're about to make a difference and embrace the double portion of what God is already doing in our community. And we're going to enhance. We're going to support those ministries. We're going to be a part of what is happening and what God is doing in our community. So what your session voted on this morning is, in addition to this budget that they approved, they've set a mission and outreach goal of some $4,500 on top of our budget. A mission and outreach goal to serve our neighbors, to serve the kingdom of Jesus Christ in our world, so we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and share with those, and we want to quadruple that double portion. Some of the ministries that we're about to embark upon, as we set this mission goal, as I said, it's not a budgetary goal. It's a mission goal. It's going to be an opportunity for us as a church once a month to contribute to these mission and outreach needs in our community. I think we'll hit it because I know this church. I know this congregation. I know Presbyterians. You know, when we were faced with the tornado that plagued our community several years ago, I told you the story that as I was a part of the Tippah County recovery process, a lady from Biloxi, Mississippi, who head up the MEMA for our area, she reached out to me as the chairperson of the committee, and she said, let me ask you this. She didn't know that I served as pastor of Ripley Presbyterian Church. She said, let me ask you this. Have you got any Presbyterians on that committee? If not, you need to get them on there. Because they're givers. They live outside of self. So what are we going to do? What does your session embrace today as a way to be a part of the double portion in this community? Over these needs in our community, we're going to make a goal this year to contribute at least $500, to some $750, to some $1,000 to each of these needs as a congregation, as we present those opportunities on a monthly basis. What are they? First, we're going to commit to growing our pastor discretionary fund, a fund that we use to provide assistance to Tippah Electric to power bills for families in our community. We're committed to being part of the difference there. We're also committed to giving to foreign missions. We don't know who that's going to be yet, but there is a missionary or a missionary family that's about to start receiving assistance annually from our congregation as we embrace their ministry to our world. We also were challenged as a session by one of our elders. How can we help the drug epidemic in our community? Lives are being torn apart. These prescription drugs are plaguing families. They're destroying them. And with the assistance and leadership of Judge Kelly Luther, we're going to partner with him in some way to be part of the solution of the drug epidemic in our community. We're also going to be a part of Clean Water, Living Waters of the World, an outreach that was started in the Synod of Living Waters and our presbytery has been a part of. We're about to start giving annually to that through our combined giving as we provide water to the third world countries who don't have it and see the gospel, not just hear the gospel. Your session made a commitment to giving annually to the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, the very organization that benefited our community, that's plaguing now communities in Florida with hurricane and tornado destruction, we're going to give to that regularly. We're going to be the church in their name. And here locally. Here locally. Your session embraced a commitment today to partner with Together for TIPA. Together for TIPA, an outreach to our students in the schools who sometimes need backpacks, who need extra food to eat, Randall, who need gifts at Christmas. It's a wonderful outreach. They're doing a double portion. We want to help that. We want our name on a check every year written to Together for TIPA, so we're part of the solution. We're embodying that. And lastly, we've committed to continue and contribute to the TIPA County Good Samaritan Center. These are the local and world missions that your session embodied today to say, we're no longer going to give to missions what's left over. In the Spirit of our Lord, we're going to give the first fruits to serve in the name of our Lord, the least of these, so we can be the hands and feet of our Savior until He returns. So what do we do as individuals when we're faced with this? What do we do when we're faced with budgetary shortfalls? How much do we give, right? I remember asking my papaw, Elton Wilbanks, that one time. I said, "Papaw, Scripture talks about tithing. Does that mean we're supposed to give on the gross, whatever our salary is? Or are we supposed to give on the net, whatever's left after the government and everything gets their part?" Papaw, plain-spoken guy that I've told you before, was kind of a cross between Billy Graham and John Wayne, somewhere in there. Papaw said this, "Jody, pretty simple. Do you want the Lord to bless you on the gross or on the net?" I didn't have to ask anything else. So how do we give to our congregation as a family and as individuals? Friends, I've preached this before and I believe this with my heart. Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. You know what I think about that? I think that's a question for you and God. That's what I'm saying. I think that Scripture is telling us not just to give more than you can give, but I think it's saying give an amount that you can be cheerful about, that you can be joyful about, that you can feel good about. Maybe you're saying, "Yeah, Jody, I hear all this tithe talk, but, you know, isn't that an Old Testament law? And we're in the New Testament. We were set free from the law. We don't have to tithe any more than 10%, do we?" And you're right. You're right, friends. We don't have to. We have been saved by grace. It's not our works that save us. It's not our tithe that's going to save us. We're already saved. And since we are, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to give even more out of grace. We don't give to get God's blessing. We give because we are blessed as a family, as a church, as a community. We're not saved by giving. But you know, it was Paul. Paul the apostle who introduced this concept of salvation by grace, right? We're justified by grace. By Christ, by faith in Him, not by what we do. But it was also the Apostle Paul, friends, that said this. A little passage of Scripture in the book of Acts chapter 20, where he gathered with the elders of the church in Ephesus, his most beloved congregation. And it's a very moving exchange where Paul bows in prayer with the people of Ephesus right before he leaves them. And he said, "I'm never going to see you again. This is my farewell to you." And here's the last thing Paul said to his most beloved congregation. He said this, "May we never forget that it was our Lord Jesus Christ who said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive. You see what Paul was saying to us there? Paul, the originator of justification by faith. He said, it's not our giving that saves us, friends, but it's our giving that blesses us beyond what we could have ever imagined. And I'm not talking about monetary blessings. I'm talking about blessings that only come from God. The blessing and joy of knowing love and peace and happiness that we cannot experience in the world around us unless we live for others in the name of Christ. So lastly today, I close again with this experience of Hannah. Did you hear in this passage of Scripture that Hannah eventually found her joy? It says to us her countenance changed. It says she went back in worship with her husband. And you know what, friends? It wasn't when Hannah got what she wanted. It wasn't when Hannah conceived that she found joy. It was when Hannah got out of herself and presented herself before God and said, what can I do to serve your kingdom? Hannah found joy in being the church. May we too, as we serve our world, our community, our neighbor, as the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen.